Okay, Parshas Mishpatim. It's kind of like every few verses is in Parsha over here. So we're going to talk about the goring ox today. It's going to be our focus. The goring ox shows up twice. The first time is when he harms people, and the second time is when he harms other animals. So the second time is kind of just damages. The first time he actually causes a fatality. All right, let's go straight to the program. Chapter 21. We're going to begin today with verse 28. V'chi yigach shoyer es ish. If an ox gores a man, or yes, ish, or a woman, v'meis, and they tragically die. Sokol yisokel hashoyer. That ox must be stoned. Has been put to death. V'loy ye'ochel, it may not be eaten. Es b'sarei his flesh. Uval hashoyer, and the owner of the ox, naki is clean. So this obviously requires elucidation. Let's take a look in Rashi. V'chi yigach shor. Is this a pasuk, a verse, a halacha about an ox? That's the first obvious question we have to ask ourselves. And Rashi immediately comes to clarify and says, this is not about an ox. This is about an animal that causes damage, or an animal that kills. Echad shor, ve'echad kol behema v'chaya v'oif. It could be an ox. It could be a wild dog. It could be a bird, a vulture of prey. It doesn't make a difference. It could be a wild beast. It doesn't matter what kind of animal it is. What matters is that your animal, the animal you're responsible for, caused the fatality. So why does the Torah talk about an ox then? It should say, instead of v'chi yigach shoyer, it should say v'chi yishach chaya, when an animal bites. So if you had to convey this halacha in today's day and age about somebody's animal that somebody was responsible for that hurt somebody else, what would it be? I think you would say a dog bit somebody. That's what I think you would say. Why would you say that? It's not really more the bite of a dog any more than the scratch of the cat. It's just because that's most common. Well, for the longest stretch of human history, and in some parts of the world this is still the case, the most common animal that could damage somebody, that is capable of being extremely wild and possibly even killing somebody, but at the same time an animal that people eminently need if they are to do their farming, and be able to produce sustenance for their families, communities, and societies, is the ox. So therefore, the Rashi says, it could be an ox, it could be any behema, a domesticated animal, a wild animal, it could be a bird, it doesn't make a difference. The point is, hadibur hakosav behaive. The Torah is speaking about the typical case. So in this typical case, that's when we have this halacha being conveyed to us, this law, this Torah law being conveyed. Back to the verse. So what happened? The ox killed a man or a woman. He gored a man or a woman. And what happened was that they died. So first thing, what's the first result? What has to happen as a result of this? The animal has to be put to death. The second thing the Torah says is, v'lo ye'ochel es b'sarei, that his flesh should not be eaten. So the obvious question is, mimashma shenemar sokel yisokel hasher, from the intimation of the words stone unto death, any idea, shunavela, would I not know that it's an animal who died by means other than ritual slaughter, and that therefore the animal would be forbidden? It's a no-brainer. It's a given. An animal that was stoned to death is not going to be permitted to eat. Why would the Torah have to tell you v'lo ye'ochel? Furthermore, this is not the place where the Torah conveys to us laws of kashrus. This is not about what's kosher or unkosher. This is the pasuk that talks to us about the animal who harmed somebody. So Rashi explains, Elo, ma Talmud Leimer, what is the verse really coming to convey to me? Because the fact that I couldn't eat this ox is obvious. It's a given. It's a no-brainer. Everybody would know that. So Rashi says, when the Torah says, V'lo ye'ochel es b'sarei, what it means to say to you is, Sha'afilu shechotoi, even if you were to slaughter it, la'acha shenigmar dinoi, after the court has ruled that this ox has to be stoned, also the halacha would be that he's prohibited ba'achila, which means even if the animal had been killed in a kosher way. Sokil, Yisokil does not speak about the post ipso facto of the actual stoning. Sokil, Yisokil refers to the court's ruling. Once the court rules, Sokil, Yisokil, once the court says this ox who killed a human being can no longer be left alive, then from that point onward, he becomes prohibited in any kind of consumption, regardless of how the animal actually died. Now, Rashi asks the question, okay, I cannot have him for dinner. However, could we at least make a Torah scroll out of the hides? Or maybe at least a good bag? I don't know, a pair of shoes? So, what about having some kind of benefit from this? Talmud Leimar, the verse continues, Uval Hasher Noki. And that's why Rashi doesn't explain the words Uval Hasher Noki in a separate Dibur HaMaskel, in an independent commentary, which Rashi oftentimes will do. He'll transcribe several words and he'll explain. Then transcribe another word, two, three of the scripture, and then explain. Here he doesn't transcribe the words Uval Hasher Noki because really, at least in the first interpretation, Uval Hasher Noki, the owner of the ox is clean, is a continuation of the explanation and meaning of the Vileya Yochel Ez Basari. So he shouldn't eat the flesh, refers to consumption. And then the pasuk goes further and says, Uval Hasher Noki, meaning Ka'odom Ayim L'Chavede, like a person who might say about his peer, Yotza Pleni Noki B'Nechosov, that person came out clean. They cleaned him out. And they cleaned you out, means you have nothing left. So it's a euphemism, which was in use in Hebrew 3,000 years ago. It's still in use in English and probably many other languages today. So when somebody goes, I got cleaned out, it means I'm gone. I got no money left. Here we say, the balabais is naki. He's cleaned out. An ox is an expensive animal. It's an important part of the residuals of any farm. And here, the balasher is cleaned out. That's the meaning of naki. Naki minachosov, the ein loy bohem hanoh shol klum. He can have absolutely no benefit whatsoever from this ox. Zehu, this is midrashe. This is the way to expound those words. Upshute, in the literal meaning, the very, very simple, straightforward meaning, kemashmoy, as it sounds, which means that the Baal Asher is naki, that he's clean, he will not be held culpable, he will not be punished. Ulefi shenemar, because it says, bemuad, because it says, by a wild ox, who had already been deemed to be a dangerous animal. And as we're going to see, this is because the wild ox has a precedent that's been established. It was not an accident, it was not a shock, it was the expected thing. Then in that case, the gambal of yumos, that the owners must die as well. And it's actually an opinion that means, really he has to die, although according to most opinions it means, bal asher yumos means he has to die by virtue of the, what we would call a heavenly death sentence. He would die prematurely. And why would he die prematurely there? Because he is expected to take responsibility for his animals. So a person who keeps a jaguar in his backyard and then he forgets to lock the door and the jaguar breaks loose and kills somebody, who's responsible? The owner. Why? Because jaguars kill. That's what they do. What'd you do with, why were you keeping a jaguar in your backyard? And if you decided to do something crazy like that, then you need to take every possible precaution. And if you didn't take precautions, you're going to be responsible. But if you have a nice dog and the dog has played with children up to 10 times, you never had any trouble, and all of a sudden the dog went crazy. And we don't know what happened. I never could have expected this, the guy says. Well, in that case, that's when we have a situation with Baal Asher Noki, where the person, the owner of the animal, is clean, meaning exempt, because there was no way he could have known this is going to happen. This is an ox that he's been plowing his field with for decades now, or years. He never had a problem. So because it says v'gam ba'ol of yumas, because when it speaks about a wild animal, or not a non-wild animal, but an animal who has become established, the precedent has already been set up that this is an animal who you have to expect violent behavior from, chutzach leimer b'tom, and you have to say in an animal who you don't have that expectation or assumption, which is called the tom, the bal asher noki, that the owner of the ox is clean. So we walk away in here with two explanations of the word bal asher noki. And interestingly, Rashi never formally transcribes anything or explains it. And as I said, the reason is because it's a continuation of the first interpretation of the previous words, which are the Vilei Yachal Ez Basari. So v'loy yachal es b'sari, don't eat the flesh. And what does this mean? As a continuation, means you cannot have any kind of benefit. So balashar naki. But according to the other straightforward interpretation, balashar naki means that the owner will not be held culpable in any way, shape, or form. So here is the big question. Why is the ox getting killed? There are no bad dogs, there are no bad cats, there are no bad oxen, there are bad people. Or stuff happens. I mean, like it's not like the ox made a concerted decision to be evil today and do something bad. The animal really has no clue of what it's doing. Animals don't have that self-consciousness. That's the difference between humanity and between the animal kingdom. So if so, why would we punish the ox? It sounds totally inordinate. Doesn't seem to make any sense. It flies in the face of everything we believe in from a Torah perspective, that morality and right or wrong choices were legislated specifically to humanity and not to animals. So the Rambam says the punishment is not for the ox, the punishment is for the owner. The owner has grief when it sees his ox that's stoned and killed and loses him. Ramban says, okay, fine, why do you have to stone him for? Like there are different methods of execution, and this is the most severe method of execution and a painful one. What's the point? And therefore, Ramban maintains Gzeiras Melechi. This is a decree of the king. We do not claim to understand it. It's this idea that if an animal kills a person, the animal must be put down. That's the way it is. That's Gzeiras HaMelech. Now, mind you, it's Gzeiras HaMelech. It's a decree that I think society largely does understand. There was a story here in Ontario a number of years ago where a Rottweiler killed a child. And the Rottweiler was put down. And the owner, over the protest of the owner, incidentally, who maintained that, you know, the Rottweiler didn't know what he was doing, it didn't do anything wrong, and that may be, but people understood, it made sense to people, that a Rottweiler that killed a child cannot walk around, cannot be living anymore. The Sefer HaChinuch says that this is all about a message for us. And the message for us is, yes, the animal does not know what it's doing. It does not make a bad decision to harm somebody, and it doesn't make decisions to be good to anybody. Having said that, the Torah wants us to know that something through which bad things happened, something that ended up serving as the agency for the death of a human, is going to be condemned, even if it was done unwittingly, and even if it was not choreographed, and even if it wasn't carefully thought about, and there was no premeditation. And even if these things are not even possible, we're talking about an animal. Nonetheless, when we have a situation where an animal becomes the aegis through which something horrible happens, you can't go on living. And the message for us is that we should always try to be an envelope for goodness and not, chas v'shalom, serve as an agency for the opposite, because when that happens, we forfeit the right to live. We learned that you cannot eat its flesh. This is Rashi telling us that we're not allowed to benefit from it in any way. Rashbam says, you don't have to reach for this notion that maybe somebody would have slaughtered it prior to its being stoned, and that the meaning of sakel yasakel, surely it will be stoned, is not literal, but rather figurative, in the sense that sakel yasakel means once the courts have ruled that stoning must take place, it can no longer be eaten. Rashbam says, well, I have a simpler way to explain this. If the animal was in fact stoned, he's an avela now. What do we tend to do with an avela? What do we do? What does the Torah say in this very parsha that you do with non-kosher meat? The Torah gives us two options. One option is that we give it to a non-Jew. Non-Jew doesn't have a mitzvah of eating kosher. What's the other option? We learned it in this week's parsha and was alluded to several weeks ago as well.
Burn it.
Give it to the dog. Reward the dog. Because the dog was good to us when we left Mitzrayim. The Or HaChaim says that a person who would eat this meat would receive lashes. He would formally violate the mitzvah of the Torah. However, if somebody benefited from this animal, it would be wrong, but you wouldn't get lashes. In other words, to fully make the mistake or fully violate the Torah's command here, you have to actually eat the animal. Now think about this. An animal killed somebody, and you ate that animal. The animal became a part of you. I mean, it's too horrific. It's a terrible thing to think of. So that, says Or HaChaim, that's when we have a full-blooded violation of this mitzvah. Otherwise, it would be wrong but against Torah's instructions, but you wouldn't be held fully culpable.
So that's if you decided not to slaughter it.
That's if you decided to slaughter it.
Not to,
well, you can't decide, but you can like run and slaughter the animal before they have a chance to stone it, which would in and of itself be wrong because it's not allowing the court to carry out its punishment. And now the pasuk continues, but v'imshar nagachu, if this is a wild, treacherous, and violent ox, a goring ox, mitmel shilshim, from already yesterday, the day before, v'huad bevolov, and there was a warning, v'lo yishmer anyone, the owners were not, did not take the appropriate precautions, v'heimis isha isha, and then it killed a man or a woman, hasher yisakil, the ox will be stoned. The gamba all of you must, then the owners will bear full culpability. They too will be put to death. Rashi says, mitmeil shilshem, from the words mitmeil shilshem, harei shalosh nigichis. We can derive that there were three events, three incidents in which the ox gored, because he gored hayoim today, tumoil yesterday, and shilshem 3 days ago. In other words, it was 3 days in a row. So if you have three incidents, one after the other, then it establishes a pattern and a precedent. And now it can be the new assumption. The assumption is that this animal is violent and dangerous. V'huad bevolov, Rashi says, the meaning of v'huad is lashon hasra. This means that there was warning that was given. Ample warning was provided. And that would be be'edim, when there was witnesses present. Kimoi, for example, when the brothers of Yosef said to their father Jacob, we don't want to go back down to Egypt because Ha'id Ha'id Bono Ha'ish, the man warned us. He said, don't you dare see my face again without your little brother Benjamin. So that's the meaning of he gave this warning, and this warning was done in a public fashion. We really have no choice at this point. So Rashi says here, would it have to be a warning that was given not in private, but a warning that was given in public, which means that this is part of the judicial process. An animal gored, witnesses would come. This would be the equivalent we call today a police report. A formal report would be lodged. There will be a formal record of it. This person would be given a warning. It said, your animal is violent. You need to be more careful. He says, oh yeah, I feel terrible. I'm going to be more careful. And then he wasn't more careful. Oh, if this was an animal that wasn't more careful, finished. Now, of course, you could ask the question, how did that ever happen? Why would the animal, he's supposed to be killed after the first time. So it could be that he tried to gore people. He didn't actually succeed, or he gored them but didn't kill them. So he was warned. And we know this is a dangerous animal who's been goring people. Or it could be he gored even animals. The point is, it's a violent thing. If he gored another cow, he doesn't get killed. Damages have to be paid. Then now the precedent has been established. There's a pattern. It's very clear. We know what we're dealing with here. And because of this, we now have to take full precaution. And if you don't take full precaution, you're shirking your duty and responsibility, and you become culpable. The Hamis Ha'ish V'Gaymer, Rashi says, Lafish Shanemer Ki Yigach, it says the first time an animal who gores, right? And the second time again we talk of him Sher Nagachu. And then it says Vehemis Ha'ish, he kills, doesn't say he gores. So ki Lafish Shanemer Ki Yigach, because it says Ki Yigach. So Ein Lielo, I would think Shehemisi bin Yigicho, that the Torah is specific and it refers to an act of killing with the horns. What if it killed with biting, with dechifa? What if it crushed the animal? Beita kicked with his legs. Minayin, how do we know then as well? Talmudim v'heimis. The pasuk doesn't say the second time he gored. The pasuk says he killed. However, the animal killed. So an animal who goes and kicks children and kills them as a result doesn't make a difference. Begam ba'olav yumos. Rashi says we follow the majority opinion that this is bidei shomayim. The courts will not execute him, but Hashem will make sure that this person does not live out his life. Maybe illness, maybe an accident. He will not live out his life. If God promises you won't live out your life, you can run, you can hide. You will not live out your life. Yachol b'dei adam. You might have thought this means in the hands of people, meaning the court. Talmud Leimer, the verse comes and says, Mois yumas hamaka roitzeachu. Later on, when we speak about a murderer, so a person who kills another person with their own hands, the Torah says that that person must be killed. He is a murderer. And the emphasis here is, he killed somebody, he must be killed, he is a murderer. When he actually commits an act of manslaughter, an act of murder, so then atahergei, then you have to kill him. The courts have a responsibility to put him to death. However, you cannot kill him by virtue of his ox or his animal killing somebody, but he is culpable. And because he's culpable, Hashem says, there's going to be, so to speak, a price on his head. As the verse actually continues, the verse continues and says that money is going to have to be paid. You're not going to get away free. This is the damages will have to be paid, and we have a dispute as what kind of damages. But before we go on, or rather than go on, I want to take a few moments before we conclude today to learn a very important lesson that this goring ox can teach us. If you go to the Beauty of Chumash, go to page Kuf Lamed, we go to chapter Tesvav, entry 15 here, and the Rebbe says something really incredible, very, very relevant to something that doesn't seem relevant to most of us. Okay, fine, if my dog would hurt somebody. We don't have our courts are not working. We don't have ecclesiastical courts in a criminal sense. Our ecclesiastical courts deal with the divorce and conversion and maybe monetary disputes, but we haven't had criminal courts for well over 2,000 years now. So how I relate to this, study this little portion of Torah, this little few psukim, what is it saying to me in today's day and age? So the Rebbe says, Rashi's comment was, Echad Shur ve'echad kol behema. It could be an ox, it could be a cow, it could be a dog, it could be a donkey. It's not important. It doesn't matter what kind of animal it is. The point is, an animal you were responsible for killed. So why does the Torah say an ox? You know, like the child that came home from school and the mother said, what did you learn today? And the child said, today I learned about oranges. And the mother said, really? He said, yeah. We learned it was two oranges, another two oranges, four oranges. And the next day, the mother said, what did you learn today? Today we learned about apples. There was four apples, it makes eight apples. And obviously, it's not apples or oranges. It's arithmetic. So we're not talking about oxen here. What are we talking about? We're talking about a principle, a legal principle. We're talking about responsibility. We're talking about culpability. We're talking about what happens if a person dies. He gets stuck with the ox. Get away from the ox. Don't get caught up in the technicalities. Dibur akos of behavior. The verse is simply using terminology, language, which is typical. Yesh lefarish. So the Rebbe says, we could explain and develop this klal, this rule. Dibur akos of behavior. The pasuk, the verse, the scripture speaks in the everyday language. Scripture talks to us in everyday language. We could learn and understand this, b'derech remez, in an allusionary fashion. The Torah sometimes alludes to things. It doesn't always say them directly. Sometimes it alludes. Everybody does that. Sometimes people don't want to say things directly. They allude to something. They hint at something. Sometimes that the Torah speaks to us. In fact, in some might argue Torah always speaks to us like that. Also, Torah speaks to us in many tongues, so to speak, in many languages, many ways. The Torah has its body language, the Torah has its verbiage, the Torah has its allusions, its hints, the Torah has things you have to expound, the Torah has literal meaning, the Torah has mystical ideas, everything, layers upon layers. So, b'derech haremez, we could understand this Rashi as to be more than simply a comment about not just the ox, but the dog too. Kasher misrach Hashem u'rois yitzim migeder haragel. Something extraordinary happens in our lives. So nitim bekalos lahaker bekach. It's easy to notice shem u'rois elu that these happenings boil mild. They're coming from a higher place. It didn't just happen. It's like, wow, really? Did that just happen? Did I just see that? That's unbelievable. However, and then it's easy to say that this must be divine providence. It must be. Where could this have come from? Never expected it in a million years. And this is the way it ended up. Clearly Hashem wanted it to be this way. Clearly Hashem is speaking to us. Clearly an act of divine providence. It's a hand of God. However, b'yimei shigra, on days that are just like, you know, regular days. Nothing extraordinary, nothing to write home about. Kishakol misnal kasidra, everything is happening as it should or would or could, as expected. We would then tend to see things as nothing special here. Don't obsess. Don't focus. Don't look for any messages. There's no God's hand here. This is just everyday stuff. Stuff happens. Like, don't get crazy on me. Talk about God and God's presence. It's an everyday thing. It's just stuff. A person might say that. And the message to us is wrong, mistake. This is the meaning. The scripture speaks about everyday life. When we believe that God's involved in our lives, we don't just believe that God's involved in the big stuff, in the extraordinary events, in the unusual happenings. Oh, there must be God. Wrong. The scripture speaks, who's the scripture? The presence of God, the voice of God. Where does the voice of God speak? It speaks in everyday life. Gam oisan mu'urois shabibuchinas hoive. When things happen, stuff happens, the happening stuff. Ha'mu'urois hashigrasiyim ha'misnalim al pikloli ha'teva harigilim. The things which are expected, not unusual, everyday, regular, pedestrian reality. Afheim no'ivim mikach shadibra kosev. You know why it's like that? The scripture has spoken there too. This which scripture has spoken? This is the Asarim Amoris. This is the 10 utterances Shebehem Bara Kadosh Baruch Hu Sa'olam, with which the Mishnah tells us God created heaven and earth. And not only we believe that God created heaven and earth, past tense, but rather, as the Baal Shem Tov teaches us, Hamahavim Mechayim Sa'olam, those very same 10 utterances are continuously creating and bringing the world into existence. Al Kol Pratav, with all of its details. Nothing is random. Nothing is happenstance. Nothing just takes place. B'chol rega v'rega, each and every moment mechadosh. U'mikan, and from here we can see, shaychusei shal klal zeh l'parshas mishpatim. This rule, incidentally, is repeated numerous times throughout this parsha. And this parsha is really about what? It's about everyday life. It's not about matan Torah. It's not about building a house for God. It's not about anything extraordinary. It's about everyday life. It's a sekes. It involves itself b'gili alikus, in the way God reveals himself to us, and how God speaks to us, B'chaye hayoyim yoyim, in our daily lives. Not just ordinary. Chaye hayoyim yoyim harigilim, in our everyday lives. U'be'iske ha'olam hagashmi, and our involvement in the material, ordinary, everyday world. My friends, nothing is by happenstance. Nothing is by accident. The hand of Hashem is ever present, and that's the message that we can derive from Dibur HaKosev B'Hever, from the fact that God chose to convey this message in everyday speech, in this particular halacha, an ox, in another halacha, a donkey, in another halacha, cats or dogs. But really, it's not about any of the above. It's a message for us that Hashem is ever present in our lives, and that everything that happens to us is by divine design.